I mean, how could you not love them instantly? And they didn't even have probably their best, not probably their best offensive kid.
I was like, in the alternate universe, I said, Caleb Shawn is watching this. And guys, we're fine.
They've done this before. They did this. I mean, they've done it to great teams before. So it's just like, I don't even know if that's really a big win for him.
He is a leader on defense. I mean, this kid has a motor, man. I mean, you can just tell he gets into the game and he starts to defend and everybody just kind of rallies behind him. He's just, he's their leader. Like, he's everything for them.
He's him.
He's him. What is up, Arizona high school basketball fanatics? Welcome back to the Arizona Small Ball Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff. Your other host, Reyes, is here with me as always. And on today's episode, we're going to talk about something that we've been seeing a ton of these past few weeks. A lot of teams are playing some zone defense, and there's some people that are mixed about that. Some people love it, some people hate it. We're going to talk about it. We're also going to talk about Cloud 9 Top 9 that was just released this past week. It blew up all over Instagram. And we're also going to talk about some big-time performances of the week. But before we get into all that, Big Reyes, how you doing, man? It's great to see your amazing face and your fuzzy new haircut, dude.
Fuzzy new haircut, as in I need to get a haircut. I'm doing great, though, man. A lot of good hoops this past week. A lot of teams went down, and I'm sure that we'll talk about it, and you'll see it come later. But, yeah, it was a great week of just basketball.
Well, let's just start with this then, because, I mean, you kind of mentioned that. We are going to talk about zone defenses and everything, but what is a team that did something this past week that just for you, you know, you're like, okay, this is it. This is scary hours, whether it's in a good way or it's in a bad way.
One team, I guess, I mean, we're talking about zone defenses, but one team that just kind of is on my radar and it's like for real, like, oh, it's scary hours. And they're not really doing too much zone defense, but Santan Charter, dude, like,
whoa, I know wait a minute,
bro.
What?
I'm just saying, dude.
Hey, somewhere,
I'm just
Coach
saying,
Krooms just went, oh, what
the? Bro? I what the? It's crazy, right? I know we're supposed to be talking about zone defense, and I get that, but you just mentioned like a team that's kind of like, oh, it's scary hours. It's sure. Santan Charter, man. Golly, like. The amount of points they're putting up on some of these teams is just bananas. It's kind of crazy, honestly.
It is a little bit crazy. And, you know, it makes me happy that you finally agreed to put them in your top 10. Or not in your top 10, to put them number one in your top 10. And, you know, I'm glad that you're finally there with me. You're seeing the light. There are some people that are in there are some people that are a part of our community that still they call Santan Charter the choke artist. And Reyes, I feel like a few months ago you would have loved that. But
I loved,
you know,
that. I wish you would have told me that a couple months ago.
I kept it from you on purpose. And yeah, so I'm not a believer in that. I think Santan Charter is, I mean, they're going to win the 2A title, right? But they are really on fire and they're doing really well. A quick disclaimer here. I'm in the studio and I just saw somebody walk by with a freaking tuba trombone. So if you hear any weird noise in the background, that's all you're hearing. So, you know, it is what it is, but I think we'll be okay. Let's talk about zone defense, okay, Big Ray, because we've been seeing a ton of teams playing zone defense, and there's a lot of people that are split about it. You know, we posted something to our army in the Small Ball Army on Patreon. Slight plug, if you haven't checked out our Patreon, the link is in our bio on any of our social media platforms. If you love Arizona Small Ball, you're going to love it. But we posted on there, and there was a couple coaches that wrote us on the comments. I think maybe like a few, but then there was a bunch of others that just messaged me. And it's very split. And I even posted it on Instagram, and it was very split on there as well. Some people feel like it is a terrible strategy to play zone defense and that it's almost a disservice to basketball, a travesty to basketball. Other people love it and feel like it's a great thing that can change the pace of the game. So, Reyes, where are you at with zone defense? I know that from where you're coming from, you played a lot of man-to-man defense. But where are you at with this whole zone defense thing?
It's crazy, and I'm pretty sure we're going to go back and forth, and so I'll be the heel in this. But I actually am a fan of zone defenses just because, like, at the higher level, like college and like professionally, they play zone defenses. You know what I mean? So for people saying that zone defenses are not real defenses or it's bad for basketball and all that stuff, well, go tell that to Duke and go tell that to the Celtics and all those other coaches that run a zone defense. Sure. But there are disadvantages to it for Ann. I mean, like one like disadvantage that really like that sticks out to me is just a lack of accountability on defense, right? Like I said, us being a very, like, you know, man-to-man defense, being so used to, you know, pressuring the ball. When you're in a zone defense, players, especially at the high school level, you have the tendency to kind of sag off a little bit. And if you get beat in your zone, you're going to have someone that's going to be able to pick up the slack for you. So I feel like the lack of accountability there is at a disadvantage for me when it comes to zone defenses.
Shouldn't that be the same in man-to-man, though? If you get beat, shouldn't you have somebody there who can help you?
Well, you should have the helper, absolutely. But what I'm saying is, like, you can't, like, I mean, for man-to-man, it's more glaring, right? For zone defense, like, you can just be standing, not doing much, and you can just kind of just float in your zone, I guess you should say. You can't really float in a man. It'd be pretty tough.
So then,
unless you're 6'6".
That is true, which we have seen. So
if you're 6'6", you can just switch,
sure.
Switch.
Yeah, you can
and
not switch.
Do anything.
So then answer me this, because one of the responses said that teaching zone defense, it teaches kids how to play lazy defense. Do you agree with that?
Oof. I think it depends on the coach, right? There's some coaches, and we've seen, just obviously watching a lot of game throughout this year, there's a lot of coaches when they're like matchup zone or just a regular, you know, zone, they have their players playing at a very high pace, high intensity.
They're super active, right?
Super active, you know, arms are out wide, you know what I mean? They're in the passing lanes, they're trapping corners, wings. I think it depends on the coach, right? I mean, if you're not teaching zone principles and how you exactly want it, like if you're just kind of going over the basics and you just leave it at that and you're not emphasizing, hey, like we want to be super active in the zone, then yeah, you're going to get lazy and poor defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and anybody who's coached for any amount of time knows this, but a zone defense still has man-to-man principles within it. And I think a really good zone defense is a zone defense that at times looks a little bit like a man, and a really good man defense is a defense that at times looks like a zone because it looks like people are just helping off their guys. Like, that's a really good defensive philosophy, team defense that you have if those two things are true. I think a huge pro for a zone, and I love using a zone to change up the pace of the game and to change up what a look at, like one of our, it was actually a JV coach was playing against a team and they went to a zone for a little bit. The only reason they went to a zone is because the point guard and the big were getting into a really good rhythm of running the pick and roll. So he just did a 2-3 for just like three possessions. And his mindset was, I just want to take them out of that rhythm for just a little bit, and then we'll go right back to man. I love zone for that reason. It just changes how a team can impact you, right? A huge positive of zones opposed to a man as well is that if you're playing somebody in a man, you're kind of just opening yourself up, and you're saying, and I love man-to-man defense way more than zone. I love zone, but I love man-to-man way more than zone. So what I'm saying here is not knocking it, but another side effect of it is if you're playing man, you're kind of opening yourself up and saying, hey, any sets that you have, just go for it, right? Like, we're just going to defend any set that you send at us. If you play a zone, like you play a 2-3, you know how they're going to attack you. Like, you can pretty much break it down. They're going to try to get the ball to the middle. They're going to have somebody on the short corner. They might send some cutters through there. But you minimize the amount of ways that a team can attack you, and you can practice those, put your kids in those situations, and, I mean, it can really – you could get really good at it, right? Like, your zone doesn't have to be flashy, but if your kids are really good at running it, it could be difficult to score. And, you know, what we saw was a couple of big-time teams this past week kind of struggle against a zone, right? Palo Verde and Florence, we saw that one. I don't know if you got to watch much of that game, Ray, but this was what, did you just take a drink of something and it was terrible?
So I'm drinking Gatorade right now, and
this is audio only, but Reyes just took a drink of something, and oh my God.
I took a drink of my Gatorade, and I had brushed my teeth, and so, like, it's just a nasty kind of mix right now. Yeah, it was just nasty. But To also like emphasize that too, I mean, that's an advantage though for the zones, right? It exploits like weak shooters, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't really know how to play out of a zone, a lot of teams, like I said, Paolo Verde Florence, I was only able to watch a little bit of it, sure. But it showed, man, that what Florence was able to do really kind of affected Paolo Verde. And yeah. then also, not with that as well, it helps like the offense, like because I mean, it helps the defense because the offense can't exploit those weak defenders because you mm-hmm. know, like. You know, every chain is as strong as its weakest link. And if you have a weak link on defense, if you're in a zone, the offenses can't really exploit that because we just mentioned, right? Even if they get beat off the dribble or lose in their zone, like someone's just going to be there, right? You know, so.
Yeah. And I kind of disagree with you that I hear what you're saying. I kind of disagree, though, in the sense that if you have somebody who's weak in a zone defense, you can exploit them and you can get some good advantages from there. But I hear what you're saying. It's not as glaring as a man, where in a man, you know, it's like you're on an island and you're just doing your best to try to survive.
Sure, yeah.
And watching Paolo Verde and Florence, you know, Florence went on the road to play against Paolo Verde. Hey, huge shout out to Coach Sill, because, dude, those jerseys for Florence, those black ones, those black and red ones, oh, my gosh. Those might be some of my favorite jerseys that I've seen in the small ball. I love it. Paolo Verde survived 60-56 at home, but the zone from Florence really slowed Paolo down. And it wasn't that Paolo Verde couldn't shoot the ball, because they can shoot. But when you're playing against a zone, if you don't have a great shooting night and you're settling for threes a lot, it's going to bother you, you know, and you're not going to get good shots. And it makes it really hard for you to get into an offensive flow. The zone that Florence was running wasn't anything crazy. It was an extended 1-2-2. But, you know, it was almost evident that Paolo Verde was very used to playing against man defense. And I think it's a good strategy to go zone if you're playing against a team who probably isn't super used to it. Now, you roll the dice. If they can shoot the ball really well, they can get hot. But that was something there, you know. And, I mean, Reyes, is that something that you would think about if you're a head coach? Like, let's go to a zone because this team probably hasn't seen it yet? Or is that the risk, reward? Where are you at with that?
I like throwing it a zone, just kind of like what you mentioned earlier, right? It changes the pace of the game. If we're kind of getting beat in transition, if, you know, we're just losing in those kind of scenarios, right? Like you said, just to slow it down a little bit, give our defense a chance, you know, to create some turnovers, right? Just because I think it's a good way to also just make the offense think of something else. If you continuously run man throughout the game, especially if, for me, if your man-to-man defense ain't the greatest, I think as a coach, I think it's always a great job to just kind of just throw not random defenses, but, you know, just mix it up a little bit.
You have to change it up.
You have to, like I said, because if you stay stagnant, you know, 9 times out of 10, you're just going to get just washed, right? Because you're not stopping it at all.
Yeah, and so much of it is taking the other team out of their rhythm.
I just realized we're in the showcase jersey.
I am, dude. I know you like it, huh?
It's pretty cool.
I know you like it.
That's some kids, bro, just so you know.
I know. Do you remember whose kid it is?
Russell.
Just shout out to Coach Thompson, because he told me to keep it. I was going to give it to him. So, anyways, with Paolo and Florence, and we talk about changing up the rhythm, there's also a lot to be said about if what you're doing is working, if it's not broke, don't fix it, right? For Florence, it was bothering Paolo, and they weren't able to get into a rhythm, so they just stayed in it for most of the time. And honestly, Paolo Verde didn't lead until the fourth quarter. That's the only time that they got the lead. So Florence was, I mean, I thought they were going to win this thing. The only difference for Florence is they started to turn the ball over late in the fourth, and they had to go man because Paolo got the ball and they started to gain a little bit of a lead. They had to go man, and then it was very evident, like, bro, you can't man up against Paolo Verde. Yeah, in a situation like that, like Cam Pippen, all those other guards, Ortiz, like, bro, they're freaking tough, bro.
Let me ask you a question, because in the 3A we have the shot clock, right? So a zone can be very beneficial. Mm-hmm. What about for the 2A and the 1A? Offenses can stall, and we've been seeing this a little bit too as well, yeah. Which I hate it. But is running a zone in the 2A and the 1A beneficial for teams?
I think running a zone period is beneficial, but I think that, I mean, a hard thing, let's say, like,
you know,
okay,
you know what I mean?
No, I know what you mean. So let's say you're sitting in a 1-2-2, right, like Florence was, and Paolo Verde is up by 7 with like 5 minutes left to go. If they don't want to play against your zone, they could just throw the ball back and forth up top. Like,
exactly.
Well, they could, and that's a strategy. Like, I've coached teams where we've done that before, where we've been struggling against a zone. We're up by like 7, and there's like 4 minutes left, and it's like, let's just make them play man against us. Let's just throw it up to top. And then it's like, you see the coach, they're pissed, but they're just like, you know what? Gosh, just go match up. Like, it all depends on the timing.
It is a strategy.
Yeah, and it depends on the timing, though. You know, like, you have to kind of pick your spots, and that's where I think a lot of zones, it's important to have some trapping out of it, too, especially in those situations. But the shot clock really helps with that side of things. But I will say this. Every Wednesday, we post for the rankings for our small ball army. So they can send us who they think are the top teams are in the 1A, 2A, and 3A. The small ball army... There's a couple people who said they are not believers in Paolo because of this whole Florence game. They watched it. So I don't know what your thoughts are on that. But, I mean, to me, I still think Paolo is a really good team, top team. I think this is just a lot more playing against the zone.
I think that's
that they maybe weren't used to playing. I think it's a huge overreaction, right? I still think Paolo's a top team, and they're going to be there at the end, bro.
I agree with you. I still think Paolo's seen a lot of zone. And so, like you said, when you go against – a bunch of teams that just play man, right? And then you get thrown out of zone. You kind of forget, like, your little playbook for a zone because, oh, shoot, like, you know what I mean? So I'm not worried about Paolo. I think they're going to be just fine.
Something I will say about Paolo Verde, and this is for Coach Smith, this is something that, you know, teams that are really, really good.
Is this for All the Smoke Tour?
This is for the All the Smoke Tour. I got free tickets. But for all teams that are really good against a man defense, whether it's because of dribble drive or your sets, teams will start to zone, and you got to be ready for it. So, I mean, this is for Coach Smith, but for all other teams out there that are starting to see a lot of zones, there's so many quick hitters against the zone defense that can get some different action that are not just your motion offense against zones, and that those things are huge and super helpful. So, I'm just saying, if your team is so good at man that teams are going to start zoning you, start working on your zone stuff because we're seeing a ton of it, not just from them. Salone played against North Valley Christian. North Valley Christian ended up coming out on top, but the zone that Salone was running gave North Valley some problems. Like, they kind of struggled against that. El Cap and Bases Flagstaff, I got to watch that game. They were both running a zone. We've seen Horizon Honors run a really tough zone, a 1-2-2 that morphs into a 2-3 when the ball goes below the free throw line, and they got 6-7 up there up top, just being super active. Like, there's a lot of teams that are running these types of zones, and coaches got to be ready for it. You know, you got to be ready to see anything, and zones can be kind of a nightmare to play against, honestly.
It is. It's kind of silly, but I'm a fan of it. For those of you guys that are saying zones are stupid or not basketball, stub your toe in a Lego.
Hold on now. Think about what you just said.
Stub your toe on a Lego?
Have you ever stubbed your toe on a Lego?
Yeah.
It doesn't even hurt. Stepping on a Lego hurts, but stubbing your toe on a Lego, it just moves, bro. What kind of Legos do you have?
A solid foundation Lego.
So stupid.
You don't build Legos, bro. You don't have Legos.
I don't, actually. The next thing we wanted to talk about is our partners over at Cloud9 Sports released their Cloud9 Top 9, and we wanted to just take a second and really look at that because, you know, there was a lot of people who had some negative feelings, some negative thoughts about these things. You know, if you're just tuning into the show, maybe you haven't heard this, but our awesome partners are Cloud9 Sports. They're a sports apparel company that is run by small ball coaches. We love partnering with them because they care about the small schools just like we do. They are known for their ability to fully customize game uniforms for all sports, not just basketball. And almost every single employee at Cloud9 Sports is a coach or has coached before. So why wouldn't you want to get jerseys or shooting shirts or whatever, your sports apparel from a company that understands you and is in the trenches with you, right? So it's super cool because they care so much about the small ball, they released their top nine, right? Let's start with the 3A and let's just kind of look at it. They have number 1, Valley Christian, number 2, Paolo Verde, number 3, Gilbert Christian, number 4, ALA Ironwood, number 5, Northwest, number 6, Yuma, number 7, Push Ridge, number 8, Scottsdale, and number 9, Camp Verde, okay? So Let's talk about what jumps out at you about that list, besides the obvious, Reyes. Okay, don't go there. But besides the obvious, what jumps out at you for those?
Pushridge at number 7. I think that
one. I know. I don't know about Push at 7, dude. I got nothing but love for all of these schools. I don't think Push is a top 10 team, though, or a top 9.
To be fair, I do have them finishing 2nd in the region, or we do, in the South. But I don't see them right now, especially at number 7 or even in the top 10. That's kind of a – I think it's kind of a stretch. Another one that kind of jumps out at me is I think that's the main one. Yuma Catholic, I guess, is kind of tough. But, I mean, they did just lose the Northwest.
All right, they just lost. I'm actually surprised –
Surprised that Palo Verde's 2 over Ironwood.
Yeah, I think Ironwood's low on this one. And I'm understanding why, I'm not sure. I'm surprised that Northwest didn't jump up more after their win over Yuma Catholic. You know, I think Northwest...
Yeah, one spot is just disrespectful.
I think that's crazy. I mean, at least it's above Yuma Catholic, but I think Northwest should be up. Northwest has been on a tear lately, and they have an awesome week coming up this next week. But, yeah, so for the 3A, you know, it's what it is. I told, you know, DeBoer over there at Cloud 9 Sports, I said, I like everybody on your 3A top 9 except for your number 9 squad in the 3A. You know, that was it. And that's so funny. But let's go over to the 2A now, okay? Let's go over to the 2A.
The 2A, man.
All right. Are you looking at it?
I'm looking at it.
Okay, so for the 2A, we got number 1, ALA.
The Yotes, baby.
Number 2, Santan Charter. Mm-hmm. Number 3, Highland Prep. Number 4, Rancho. Number 5, Phoenix Christian. Number 6, Leading Edge. Number 7, Heritage. Number 8, Pima. And number 9, Glendale Prep. Okay, we got to talk about this Santan Charter thing. Okay.
I think that's the only thing that's kind of crazy. And like I said, I love the Yotes and everything like that, man. But it's kind of hard to deny.
But number 1.
It's hard to deny Santan the number 1 slot when they've proven it, you know, and that's in the alien, but they're getting it done.
Like, who right now, like any of these top 10 teams, like who matches up against Santan Charter and who would be favored against them?
Maybe a Highland.
Like, no, but what I'm saying is you're going to say that you would predict that Highland wins by like 5.
Yeah.
No, stop, bro. That's crazy.
Hey, bro,
you just were riding them, and now you can't just go back to your old ways,
hey,
dude.
I'm not riding. I'm just
saying, bro.
Whoa,
you're gonna favor Highland over a Santan Charter right now.
Hey, Highland is still my state 2A state title. I have Santan number 1, but that doesn't mean I chose them to win the 2A state title.
I'm just saying. If Santan Charter is matched up against anybody in the 2A, if you go to the Vegas betting odds and they understood everything about all these teams, Santan Charter is going to be favored against everybody. That's not to say that nobody can beat them, because we know that that's not true, but they'd be favored in all of these. So I don't understand how they're not number 1.
So click the little, like, what if sound real quick, please. What if Santan doesn't win the 2A title? What does that mean for Coach Crooms and the Roadrunners?
I think he gets fired.
just take it to that extreme. There's like a little press release.
We were talking about this before. Like, imagine if coaching in the small ball was like in the NBA, like, or in college football, where, you know, Santan Charter has been this perennial powerhouse, and then, you know, they go 500 or something, and the fans, the boosters are all calling for his head, you know, like he's on the hot seat. We're on here talking about he's gonna get fired if he can't win a region championship, you know, like that's crazy. Any tournament wins or anything.
So crazy.
No, but I honestly, and I think Coach Crooms would respect me saying this in every facet of it, in every angle of this. If Santan Charter can't get it done this year, it's a disappointment like crazy. They are, they have everything that they need to put this thing together. So if they don't win, and he would love this, if me saying this, if they don't win, that is a choking thing. Like, I mean, they've got to. Like, they've got everything that they need. And here's the other thing, though. It's not like it's scary hours if they don't win, because everybody's so young. And they've got all these kids there. So they're going to be really good for a long time. But I think if they don't win, it's kind of like a, what's the Reggie Miller thing that he does? Like, a, you know, the whatever.
Choke. And the article.
Let's, you know, we talk about the 2A. Let's go to the 1A now. Okay, let's go to the 1A. So 1A top nine. Let me do this.
Let's go. Hey, dude, can we throw how the 1A is just absolutely just bananas?
Dude, I freaking love the 1A. That's like my, I love it, dude.
Hey, kay. after being at Round Valley, finally you get to see for yourself 1A basketball in person, not just on the screen, but in person.
That's great, dude. There's nothing like it. I love it, you know. One of my favorite teams that I got to see was Joe City. I love to see them. Got to see some Fort Thomas, which was great. But the 1A right now, there's some really interesting teams and players in here. So we'll get into that. But for number nine, you got Ash Fork. They got Williams at eight. They got Joe City at seven. Hayden at six. Fort Thomas at five. North Valley at four. Lincoln Prep at three. The Gregory School at two. And Babbo at one. Okay. Now, if you look at the comments, probably the biggest.
The comments are hilarious.
The comments are funny. I can see you looking at them right now. But I think one of the biggest issues that people had with it was the Babbo and the Gregory School matchup.
Yeah, right? No one even mentioned Lincoln Prep, bro. They just left it be.
No, that's not true. Someone did mention Lincoln Prep, and it was Coach Foshi.
Well, yeah, but you know what I mean.
Coach Foshi said, yo, even I need an explanation for three.
Someone put, hey, I don't know if that's a former player or whatever. They put Coach Foshi. They see the potential handshake emoji.
I love it, bro. I love it. You just got to love that, man. So the biggest one is Babbo. You know, the Gregory School and Babbo, I mean, the Gregory School should be number one. But, you know, maybe they just, they see what we see in Babbo, that warrior spirit that never backed down from anybody. And, I mean, that's probably where they get into that, man. I mean, that's tough, dude. I mean, Babbo is a really good squad. They're just, I don't think they're number one.
That's fair. What about Lincoln Prep? How do you like them at three?
I mean, come on, bro. Like, if I was on this, I love Coach Foshi and I love the Lightning. I was wearing one of their shirts the other day. So shout out for that too. But, you know, I don't know, bro. Like, number three, I think that's kind of crazy. You know, you gotta earn to be the number three spot, and Coach Foshi would be totally fine with me saying they haven't earned a number three spot up to this point. You know, they could, but, you know, right now.
That's fair.
That's just not it. So
that's so funny, dude.
There's our Cloud Nine top nine, just kind of talking it through. And those are the main things that jump out at us. Let us know and just keep commenting on the stuff, man, because our guys over at Cloud Nine, they love the small ball. They love being involved in it. So as much as you guys can rip them up, they really love it. Is there anything else you want to say about this before we move into some amazing performances from this past week?
No, let's just get right into it, man.
Okay, let's get into this amazing performances of the week. Boom shakalaka! Okay.
The music, bro.
There were some amazing performances from this past week. And Reyes, even though you don't like that and you still don't know what that's from, I forgive you.
Okay.
I forgive you. So let's just kick this thing off with this, okay? Because this is something that you have a connection to. This isn't a player. This is actually a coach, but it is connected to players. Coach Lewis out of PCD just got his 300th win over Tonopah Valley. And, you know, Coach Lewis has been there ever since the farthest I could go back on Max Preps. He has been there, but it's been over a decade. And he has been dominant there. Phoenix Country Day has been a perennial powerhouse. There's only a handful of seasons that he's had with less than 20 wins. What are your thoughts on playing against Coach Lewis? Because you've played against him as a player. You've also coached against him as a coach. Where are you
cooked
at with
him.
This?
No, I'm just kidding.
You said cooked.
No, not really. Dude, from what I can remember, dude, just obviously, you know, playing against him. And then obviously, you know, coaching against him.
Wait, you played against him like one-on-one?
Yeah, dude.
Who won?
He did.
Dang.
No, we didn't play one-on-one. No, but like...
you think Coach Lewis has got some game to him?
I think so.
No, come on. Say what you really think, dude. Come on.
I think so. Are you kidding? So? Okay. I'm smiling, bro.
Do you think he has as much game as like a Coach Frazier over at Borgate?
I don't know about that.
I don't think he does. I don't think a lot of people do.
I don't think people don't understand. And Coach Frazier, if you're listening, put everybody on game. Put everybody on notice. We should do a small ball coaches league and just let him cook.
That's actually one of the ideas that Reyes has had before, which I've shut down, but maybe, you know, maybe we should get that going. So what was it like playing against a Coach Lewis led team? Because you played against him a lot.
Yeah, the athletes he's able to attract right to PCD, it's pretty unfair. It's pretty impressive. I remember when I was there, they had a guard. He was probably about, I don't know, 6'1", 6'2", maybe. And the kid can just shoot the lights out. He was a very like cerebral guard, could see the floor very well. And what's crazy is he actually ended up going to go walk on to Stanford. And
no way.
He scored a perfect, if I'm not mistaken, he scored a perfect score on his ACT or SAT.
Wait, a perfect score?
Like, perfect. Didn't miss anything. I swear to God, I'm not making that. I hope Coach Lewis is listening. We heard he, like, or he missed, like, one or something like that. Like, but the kid was smart. But, like, those are the kind of players that he gets, right? He gets really high IQ players. He has a great job.
They are very smart, I feel like, yeah.
He does a really great job, you know, developing them. It's tough to go against him, dude, just because, like I said, like, they always have length, and he knows how to, like, you know, put each player into, you know, a successful position. And then coaching against him, man, like I said, he just figures out a way to win.
I feel like that's one of the things that really sticks out to me about coaching against him is I feel like his teams, they always have kids in, like, spots where they can be very successful. And I feel like kids always get better underneath him as well.
Yeah, and I don't want to make this, like, a knock or, like, anything like that, but, like, I mean, I'm pretty sure we can be very transparent. Some of his kids aren't the most, like, talented basketball players, right? But in that position, they thrive.
He's just really good at putting kids in great spots, yeah.
Yeah, and it's really beautiful to see. So I think that's one thing. I mean, like I said, he's a coaching genius, man. He does a really great job, yeah, overall.
One thing I remember, so when I think of Coach Lewis, obviously I think
him and
of
his track suits. Or him and his little, like, track sweatsuit.
I think him and his track suits. I also think about, I feel like every time we coach against them, he's, like, coming onto the court talking to his kids. And, like, I just always remember looking and being like, is he allowed to just walk onto the court? Like, this is an over-exaggeration. But if, like, one time we were coaching against them and I looked over and he was, like, at half court just talking to his kids during a free throw. And I was like, what the heck, dude? Like, can he do that? Like, that's wild. It's an over-exaggeration. But he does a great job with his kids. And, I mean, always one of the best programs that we have in small ball. So I'm not surprised that he's gotten his 300th win. And, you know, some of those have been at the mercy of you.
Put a banner up.
Some of those have been at the mercy of you, dude.
I think all the times we played PCD, I think we've lost. At least when I was playing, you know what I mean? So all of them were again.
Okay, so let's get into our next big performance. There was some pretty big buzzer beaters this past week, which is awesome. Okay, so one of them I posted on social media, but there is another one that I didn't get to post. San Carlos had a huge win over Gilbert Classical. It was at the buzzer. LaShawn Browning, he had a game-winning buzzer beater in order to lift them over Gilbert Classical. I didn't get to see what the score was of that game, but an awesome, awesome performance from them. And also, we can highlight this too. San Carlos also played Santan Charter and Big Ray. It was a 10-point game around there at halftime.
I saw that.
So, I mean,
and then you look at the final score, and you're like, gosh dang it.
Yeah, I mean, they ended up pulling away, you know, and I think we all kind of expected that. But
still.
I mean, it just kind of shows that San Carlos has a little something there, you know. And there's also, they played against somebody else, and they had a really good game against them.
They played Globe. They beat Globe 73-47. So this is their last couple wins. So they lost to Bisbee by 16, beat Globe by 11, beat Gilbert Classical at the buzzer, beat Globe by like 30, 20-something, and then they lost to Santan Charter 97-56.
That's a crazy explosion of points.
I like, but like I said, right now San Carlos is 4-4 overall. It's crazy. I know we talk about the rise and fall of San Carlos, but like, the rise and fall of Alchise, but how about San Carlos? Like,
I know you talk about them quite a bit, that they had those freshmen that were really good.
They had that freshman group that was really good, and, you know, they made some noise, but obviously weren't able to do what they wanted to do. I mean, they did their freshman year, but you know what I mean.
Right.
But then, yeah, so it's a good showing for them, their schedule upcoming. It's going to be kind of
interesting. Who does San Carlos have next? Like, do they play anybody that's coming up in the top 10?
No, they're like most like top 10 team won't probably be until January, which they'll kick off the new year against Leading Edge.
Oh, that'll be a great game. That'll be a great matchup. Is that at their place or is that on the road?
It's at Leading Edge, and then they'll play Leading Edge again on the 26th of January at San Carlos.
Oh, dang. Okay, that's sweet. So, yeah, wanted to highlight that. I think anytime that you have like a half court or just a buzzer beater, it's always cool to highlight. And then moving on to NPA and Basis, this rivalry of the Spartans against the Yetis, Basis Flagstaff. You know, this
Yetis.
Is a 2A squad versus, you know, for us, a 1A squad who at the time was number 4 in our rankings. And, you know, there was a half court buzzer beater that I know a lot of you guys saw that I posted, and it was to win the game. I thought it was the varsity that was at. It was actually the JV that did that.
That's so funny.
But regardless, that was an amazing shot. So we don't shy away from highlighting JV.
I love how you posted it and it got like 100 and like something likes, dude. This is a JV game. It's just lit. Dude.
But dude, it's awesome. That's if you don't love that, you don't love Arizona small ball. You know, like it's the best. So super cool with that. And on top of that, another great performance with NPA versus Basis in the varsity game is the Yetis senior Jack Engelfuller. He put up an impressive performance. He finished the game with 39 points, 10 rebounds, 6 steals, and 4 blocks in their win over NPA 61-65. Basis Flagstaff was without Engelfuller in their game against El Cap just on Saturday night. So it was a really rough showing for Basis Flagstaff in that sense. But regardless, this is a team that has a player that can really light it up and can really get going. I think Engelfuller is averaging like 26 a game for Basis Flagstaff in the 1A. So this is a really amazing performance for him.
Can I get some shout outs real quick?
Oh, go for it, dude. I want to hear it. Who do
you
got?
So Saguaro, they hosted their Holiday Classic, and they announced that their alternate teams, and Scottsdale Christian and Gilbert Christian were in the tournament. A couple players to mention real quick. We had Keon Talgo from Gilbert Christian. He made all-tournament team.
That's your boy.
Jace Olsen, your boy.
Okay.
You know, he got all-tournament. And then Hunter Wales from Scottsdale Christian got all-tournament. So I thought that was kind of cool. Just wanted to give him a quick shout-out for that.
Hunter Wales is a player that is going to be a little bit scary for some teams. Watching Scottsdale play a couple times, they really do a lot to get the ball to him, and I think his confidence is just going to continue to grow more and more throughout the season. So, not surprised about those at all. We got to shout out this guy. Okay, and Reyes.
He's heating up.
I'm scared.
This is a hot seat question for you right now, okay? And Coach Henderson out of Horizon Honors is going to love this. I want you to pronounce their big's name.
Ha, dude.
Because he's the next one I got to highlight for an awesome performance.
Bro,
it actually wasn't this past week. It was a little bit like previous, but it's an awesome one.
Okay, time out real quick.
Hold on. You got to hold the mic up to your mouth, big dog.
Bah, 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 bah. Okay, here we go.
No, don't look. Don't look
at
anything.
I got it. I got it.
No,
I got
just
it.
Say it. You just cheated, man. It takes the fun out of it, man. What the?
Mick. Mac. Mick. Mick. Annany.
No, you still got it wrong, dude.
McAnany.
Awesome. Nope. You're still Mick wrong, dude.
Nanny.
McNanny?
McAnany.
Dude, McAnany. You know what, dude? Here's what you need to do, okay? You need to get your head, and you need to take it out of your... And you need to start paying attention to what some people say. My man literally spelled it out for you on Twitter, and you
did
still
really?
Can't pronounce it, dude. Come on. It's McAnany.
McAnany,
dude.
Wait, what? McAnany. Oh,
see, dude?
I see it
Come
now.
On.
I
you
see
gotta
it,
pay
bro.
Attention, man. So this is a kid that we need to really talk about a little bit more because
he's been having a really good season so far.
He has been, and he's much improved from last year. And I don't want to get too ahead of this, but are we thinking about like a senior showcase? Are we thinking about a senior showcase invite maybe? You know, I mean, this kid is really, really tough. And what I wanted to highlight is in his game against ALA, he had 8 blocks against ALA. just super active.
And I watched that game, and I know you see the end score that ALA was able to pull away towards the end, but for about 3.5, maybe 3.25 of the game,
they were in the game.
Horizon was taking the lead. They were right there. Their pressure was really disrupting ALA. ALA vice versa. How do you say it again?
McEnany.
I mean, he proved, dude. Like I said, he really showed up that game, and he was tough. And he's honest. It's weird, right? He's super lanky, but like I say, 6'7", and he does a pretty good job protecting the rim, and he can move. He can shoot the ball. He's a very interesting prospect, to say the least. And I think you're absolutely right. He might be an early candidate for, you know, an invite for the senior showcase
invite. Be on the lookout for that. But I'm just saying, right now, I was looking at the stats. He is second in the state. Like, second in all of Arizona in blocks right now. He is averaging, is he first, if I remember right? I think he might be. I need to check right now. But this kid, we watched him play on Saturday night.
Were you looking for blocks?
Yeah, blocks. But we watched him play on
Saturday. He is number two in the state of Arizona.
Wait, but look at what he's averaging.
He has 23 blocks a game, or 23 blocks.
23
blocks. he has 23 blocks on the season. He's averaging about 4 blocks a game.
And then what's the kid above him? How many is he averaging?
4, but he has 36 blocks. And
so
he's
But McEnany's averaging more blocks per game than he is, though, right?
No, McEnany has 3.8, and the kid has 4 flat. But the kid that's above him is called Ring Neary. He's from Liberty. He's a power forward center.
He's an idiot. That kid's an idiot. I don't even care.
Yeah, we don't even care about him.
Don't even finish saying his name.
He's played 9 games, and McEnany's played 6. So I'm just saying,
McEnany's the leader in the blocks right now.
Bro, he is showing out for small ball, dude. Props to him. That's awesome.
That's freaking awesome, dude. So it's scary hours for any team that is playing against McEnany, matching up against him. So I wanted to shout that out because he is much more than just a shot blocker, but to see his improvement from last year to this year is really fun to watch. That's one of the best things about doing this. So I wanted to shout him out for his performance. And then another one is Yuma Catholic. You know, we don't talk about Yuma Catholic much because of their schedule and all that kind of stuff, but they have a kid, Sebi Patain. He's 6'1". He had 22 points. You're going to love this. 11 assists, 5 rebounds in just 2 quarters versus Tonopah Valley. Yuma Catholic is 5-year region champs. And from everything I'm hearing, Sebi Patain is looking to lead Yuma Catholic to their 6th region championship. So Yuma Catholic, I know they lost some other kids. They've still got some kids that can go. And with how Northwest has been playing, you know, they were right there with Northwest. So, I mean, this is a team that's going to be really dangerous come end of the season.
Absolutely, man. I love that.
Okay, do you have anybody else that you want to highlight? Because I got one more that I got to highlight really quick. But
No, I don't think there's really much anybody else that I need to highlight. I think everybody's just been kind of doing what they've been needing to do, you know?
Dude, if you don't got anybody, just say you don't got anybody. It's fine.
I just said that.
Okay, perfect. So the last one I want to say, and then Reyes just gave me the finger on video, so I'll just do that because that seems appropriate. But we'll mention this really quick, but, I mean, we could probably talk about Valley Christian every single week on the podcast and do a whole segment on them, but we're not going to because there's a lot of other teams that we've got to spotlight and highlight. But, bro, Valley Christian has had an amazing weekend as they took their trip out to California. They were playing against some really, really top-level teams with some top-level prospects. And, I mean, Reyes, they're not missing a beat, dude. And I know that you're public enemy number one at Valley Christian, but they're not missing a beat. Are you a believer?
I'm public enemy number one there, too. Hey, I wonder how many schools I'm public enemy number one.
Probably a lot of them. But, like, are you a believer yet that they're going to three-peat? Because they play against St. Francis, they win 69-51. They play against Otte Ranch, and they win 83-51.
Who are these schools, bro? I don't even know who they are.
Well, I'll tell you a little something about them.
They sound fake is what I'm saying.
You're saying that they're just fake?
They're just made-up schools.
Wow. Okay.
I'm just kidding.
So here's the thing, a little bit about some of these schools, at least. The one of the schools has a point guard who is like one of the top prospects in the country. His name is Mazie Mosley. He is a pretty big guard out of there that is looked to be, he's risen a lot in the rankings actually, since the summertime, but he's done some really good stuff for them. They're playing against some high level athletes, and Valley Christian just steps in and, like I said, doesn't miss a beat and just is dominant there. You gotta believe that Valley Christian. What's your percentage now likelihood that they're gonna get upset in the playoffs?
That they're gonna get upset?
What was what's my your percentage before? That you'd believe that?
What was my percentage? I don't remember. I'm gonna say 30.
30%. Okay, that's actually higher than, or that's lower than I thought you were going to say.
I think it's lower than what it was last time.
You want to ask me what my percentage is?
What's your percentage? Negative something?
No, there's a chance that anybody could get upset. You know what I mean?
Hey, it's February frenzy.
I would set it at like 8%. That's 8%? What I would set it at. Yeah, 8%.
I'm going to set it at 30.
You got a 30?
I'm going to go 30.
This is kind of weird. So I mentioned to you guys that somebody walked by my studio with like a trombone. There's somebody playing the piano, and it's like kind of goofy, creepy, like circus music as we're talking about Valley Christian getting upset. That was kind of like eerie for me, dude. That was a little weird.
Scary hours.
It is a little bit of scary hours. If you can hear that, I'm sorry. If you can't, that's great. Okay.
I can't hear nothing.
Those are some of the biggest performances of the week that we wanted to talk about. Reyes, are you ready to get into some matchups of the week, dude? Because there's some big ones. There's also some tournaments going on this week, too. But you ready to get into some matchups?
Let's do it, bro.
Okay, so let's get into it. We're going to do – let's do this, Reyes, because of time. Why don't we just do – let's do
– I only have one, two, three.
Well, put your mouth up to the microphone, dude.
Sorry. I got six matchups, so not a lot.
That's perfect. Let's get into it, bro. You go. You want me to hit the intro for that last thing again? Just real quick?
Hit the intro.
Yeah, I could do it, man. That'll be perfect. Let's get it. Boom shakalaka! Okay, let's get into these matchups of the week, bro. I freaking love that intro so much.
So, for Monday, there's a big matchup. We have... Don't worry about the numbers and stuff like that. That was
because our rankings will change, obviously.
Yeah, this is what I had them ranked in, whatever, right? But we have North Valley Christian versus Desert Christian. And this is going to be, if I'm not mistaken, at North Valley.
Yeah, I think it is at North Valley.
What do you got?
So Desert Christian has gone through a gauntlet, right? They went over to Babbo. And they had a game where they were kind of right there, but weren't able to kind of get over the hump against a really good Babbo squad. One of the first times that this team has played against a reservation crowd, so I wonder if that played a part in anything. But Desert Christian, you know, for us, for our rankings, they really just flip-flopped with a Babbo, and North Valley is still right below them. There's some people in our army that believe that Desert Christian should have been number one, and have been really been vying for them for that. They've got their two opportunities right here to build up their resume. They came up short against Babbo. North Valley is going to be a tough matchup for them. I'm still going to give the edge to North Valley here. Did you find out if it was at home or on the road?
It is at North Valley Christian.
Yeah, I'm going to give the edge here to North Valley, but this says how much I think about Desert Christian. I'm going to say North Valley plus four. I think it's going to be a really close game, and I think it is. It's going to come down to the wire. The big thing that North Valley is going to have to think about is Desert Christian has a host of guards that can really attack you and can really score the basketball at a high clip. They're really well coached. They do a great job with that. So North Valley is going to really have to think through that. I think the biggest thing is North Valley, although they are shorthanded with some of their size, North Valley does still have some size, and, you know, they also have some guards that can put it in the hoop as well. But I give the advantage to North Valley Christian. It'll be interesting to see if Desert Christian does any type of special game plan. If you're Desert Christian, do you do a special game plan to attack North Valley?
Yeah, I think if I were – Austin Kramer is still green light, right? He's still good to go if I'm not mistaken.
As far as I know, yes, as far as I know.
I think I would. I would try to figure out a way to take out Bobby Rodriguez and Austin Kramer, right?
Take him out? What are you talking about, bro?
Dude, you know what I mean, dude. Well, come
you
on.
Just, the you, way you say that, you like, let's just take him bro? Out, you know? Like,
yeah,
you're
what
gonna
are we,
tell some kids just make it hit the floor?
Are we assassins or something? Jeez.
That's what it sounded like. I figured out how to take out Bobby Rodriguez. What
anything you can
about?
Do to slow these two perennial players down, I think you must do if you are Desert Christian. So, yes, I am open to the idea of just switching it up on defense and just giving them different looks at. I have North Valley as well. I think that North Valley will pull away late in the fourth. I'm going to go ahead and do North Valley plus 11.
Okay, so you think it's a little bit more separation.
I do.
Well, the other thing, too, that I want to say is that North Valley has had a pretty balanced attack up to this point. You know, it's not like it's just one kid that's going off. You know, Bobby Rodriguez is probably their most versatile, but they have a bunch of other kids that can get up into the double figures and do some really good jobs. You know, same thing with Desert. The difference, and I'm going off of just kind of different things from last year, but Desert Christian, they've got some ways that can really give North Valley some issues, not just from last year, but also from things that I've seen this year. So I don't want to give away too much because, you know, the goal of this podcast isn't to, you know, give a team an edge over the other, but
so if
Desert
you want
Christian's
to, if you
stuff.
If you do want an edge, like I said, go to the Patreon, subscribe for like $200 a month, and Whoa. You will get insider trading on each team.
Oh my gosh!
Did I say 200? I meant 500.
Oh my gosh, dude! Yeah, I in order for Desert Christian to play to win this game, they've got three. You can make an argument for four really good players. They've got to have great games, especially being on the road. North Valley, they've got a lot there. So I like North Valley in this one, but Desert Christian, we could be looking at an upset here. Actually, it wouldn't be an upset. They're still above them in our rankings, if I remember right.
Yeah, I do think that, but I think it is fair to say that North Valley could be on the hot seat.
Yeah, no, for sure. It might be a little bit of scary hours.
You never know. We'll kind of have to wait and see. So then we'll move on to Tuesday. Tuesday has some fun matchups. Just because if you don't know anything about these teams right now, if you're not paying attention.
Oh, I like this. And these are unranked too, which is great.
They're unranked now, right? One of them's unranked now.
Well, I think they're both unranked.
You had them ranked before.
I know. They're both unranked still, I would say.
I have them unranked as well.
We'll talk about it. It's okay.
We'll get into that. But despite the loss that Winslow took on December 11th, 2023,
sure,
they look to bounce back on December 19th, which, I'm not mistaken, is Tuesday. Against a Snowflake who is trending on the upside. Like I said, they have their own.
They're not doing bad at all. They're doing pretty good.
And they had played Winslow in the Pepsi Holiday and lost 48-36.
Okay.
But that's
so
obviously tournament. That's tournament, right? Early December. Snowflake, probably. Who knows what they had. But right. As you can see now, they beat Round Valley. They beat Ganado by pretty decent margins. So true. I'm actually really excited for this game. Just because also for the region standing as well, right?
Yeah, it's going to be really good. I mean, this is their first region game, right, that Winslow has had?
Correct.
Yeah, and then same for Snowflake. Is that true?
Same for Snowflake. Snowflake currently right now, if I'm not mistaken, they're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They're like 6-3.
Okay,
so,
got you.
I think overall, right? And so, I mean, I really like this matchup. If I had to take a gamble, and this is at Snowflake High School.
Ooh,
which does
what are you thinking about this one? I don't know, bro. It's scary. Snowflake is tough at home.
Snowflake is very tough at home, and that's why I kind of want to give them the slight edge. But Winslow's just been literally dogs throughout the season, right?
And particularly on the road, though. They're not bad on the road. That win against Chinle was on the road. I don't want to take the wind out of your sails. I'm going to say Winslow wins this one. I think that they're due for a really good game right here. I think they're going to have a really good showing. They seem to play better on the road. I'm going to go with Winslow on this one. I'm going to say it's like plus six. But I think it's a close one.
I think I'm going to go Snowflake on this one. I think this is the win they need to kind of put themselves on the map, and especially on our radar, right? I'm going to go Snowflake plus five.
Okay, I like that. As you say, I'm not mad about that. Let's get to our next one.
This is a fun one also. I mean, because this is another team who has been trending upwards as well.
Okay.
So Chen Li, we kind of already know about them. I always forget their player. What's their best player? He's like 6'3". I forget.
Josiah Harvey. Can I tell you something that you always pick for matchups? You always put Chen Li in the matchups.
They have good matchups, dude. Think about it.
Is this an amazing matchup?
You don't like this matchup?
I'm not crazy about this matchup.
How are you not crazy? So Chen Li, after they lost to Winslow and Holbrook, you know, they bounced back. They beat Blue Ridge, Ganado, and Tuba City by pretty decent margins, honestly.
Hey, your microphone's going away from your mouth again. Just
my bad,
know.
Dude. Gosh dang it. And then I need the mic stand, bro.
I know. Next time you come, I'm going to give it to you.
And then if you look at Snowflake, their only loss is to Coolidge, right? That was early in the year. But the wins that they picked up, they
beat Monument Valley. Were you talking about Sholo or Snowflake?
Sholo. Okay. Sholo beat Monument Valley, Round Valley. They beat Chrisman, Thatcher, St. John's by decent margins, right? Okay. I think if they – and so I'm just saying, bro, for you to kind of be sleeping on Sholo, a 6-1 Sholo, there's obviously something brewing up there in Cougar country.
I didn't say I had a problem with Sholo.
You have a problem with this matchup, dude.
It's more the Chen Li part. I don't have any beef with Chen Li.
Yeah, beef
I'm
with
just
Chen
saying,
Li.
I think Sholo, you know, I think Sholo wins this one. Is it at Sholo, I'm assuming?
This is at Sholo.
Okay.
Oh, no, wait. This is at Wildcat Den, dude.
Okay, I mean, that changes things a little bit, but I still give the edge to Sholo. I mean, Josiah Harvey's going to have a big game here, and Sholo definitely has a size advantage over Chen Li, so I'm going with Sholo on this one.
I'm going to go Sholo +8 as well. I think they get it done on the road, and I think, respectfully, they're going to be making a lot of noise, especially heading into the Yvonne Johnson Memorial Shootout.
Oh, yeah, we're going to see him at Yvonne Johnson. That's awesome.
So, yeah, so we'll get a firsthand look at them also. I mean, I will. You won't. But anyways, let's move on to the next matchup, right?
Hey, I will. I figured it out, big dog.
No, you didn't, bro.
Okay, let's move on to the next one.
So, if I'm not mistaken, this game is also on Tuesday. There's a lot of big Tuesday matchups, and I think this is a huge Tuesday matchup.
Oh, my gosh. This is a huge one, dude.
Talk about the graphic, too.
The graphic's just so tough, dude. So Hayden's been playing a lot better. Fort Thomas, they just beat Joe City and knocked them out of the top 10. I mean, Fort Thomas is playing really hard. Fort Thomas is a team that kind of has some – I felt like this about them last year a little bit, too. Like, they have good moments, and then they kind of – you know, they filter out a little bit and they come back. Hayden, we know, was still battling some rust with football. Hopefully they're going to continue to get better. Is this at Fort Thomas?
This is going to be at Hayden. So this will be at the Lobos, I don't even know, Den? Lobos, I don't know.
Yeah, pack. Lobos Den. That sounds good.
Yeah, so if you look at Hayden, ever since the loss to the Gregory School – oh, actually, since their loss to Desert Christian, which was November 29th, and respectfully, I don't even think their football players were back, or they were just getting back into the mix of things, right?
They had been back. They had been back.
But besides that, they've gone on a 1-2-3-4-5-game winning streak.
Right.
As opposed to Fort Thomas, you know, who was kind of up and down in that Round Valley Shootout. But then they pick up 3 solid wins over St. David, Duncan, and a big win over Joe City. Yeah. I like this matchup. I think this is a great this is a region game as well, which is huge.
This is what I'm talking about. This is a great matchup, bro.
And if I'm not mistaken, if we're looking at where we put both of them, we have Hayden 1 and we have Fort Thomas 3. Pretty much saying that if Hayden's going to lose – they have to lose to Fort Thomas, and that can be it.
Yeah,
Fort Thomas can lose 3 games technically to keep our picks right, but I mean,
Hayden's up against the wall a little bit.
I think Hayden gets it done. I'm gonna go ahead and put Hayden. I'm gonna go +5. I think this is a closer game. I like what Fort Thomas is doing. I like how they're trending upwards, but Hayden right now, I think it's just their time to take over Fort Thomas right now, dude.
Fort Thomas by 2. Fort Thomas by 2. They're trending upwards. I'm hearing all this craziness about them. Why not, right? I'm going to hop on the train. I'm going to hop on the train. This is great, though, because of the implications for their region. You know, I think that's really, really awesome. So, yeah, I love
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Okay, next matchup, we move on to Thursday just because Wednesday wasn't really much. So on Thursday, I thought this was – it's just saying a great matchup, but I thought we'd give it some love. You know what I mean?
Oh, my gosh. That looks like freaking Thanos, bro.
It does. I know. I
typed. Is that
in,
the only reason you picked that graphic? Is it, yeah, because
that's why. That's the only reason why. I just because like we haven't had one for Palo Verde yet.
So yeah, I kind of want to show that. Dude, that looks like freaking Thanos, bro. Oh my gosh.
So I think respectfully, right? Shouts out to Bisbee, but I think that Palo this will Verde be quick and easy.
Yeah.
I think Palo Verde by plus 15, respectfully.
Yeah, I agree. I'll take that one too. That's good.
Okay. And I think this is the last one.
Okay, last matchup right here.
This is at the Footprint Center Arena. So that's why I kind of show some love to these.
This is a great matchup. Hey, give me Veritas on this one. Veritas is playing so hot right now. They just beat a
Glendale Prep.
I'm just saying, they just beat a Glendale Prep. We've been hearing so much about them. And I like where they're trending. Chandler Prep is also a very good team. Is this a region game as well?
Yes. Oh, no, this is actually a Freedom game.
Okay, cool, got you. Yeah.
So Veritas, if you look at Veritas from that Glendale Prep game, they beat Glendale Prep, they beat Anthem South, and they lost to Arete, right? Chandler Prep, on the other hand, they beat Trivium, lost to Glendale by beat Arete, though, and then lose to Rancho. So I think right now in good standing, I think these teams are kind of both at the same point in the season, where I think if you're going to go Veritas, I'm going to go with the Titans of Chandler Prep.
Okay.
So I'm going to go Chandler Prep.
I'm going to go
Chandler Prep plus 7.
I'm going to go Veritas, but I'm going to say plus 2. I think it's going to be super close. I really, you know, Chandler Prep, every year I've watched them. They're a great program. They always put out kids that work super hard. They're very organized. Veritas Prep, I haven't seen much of this year. But just looking at their scores and watching how they're competing against some other teams that we have seen, I mean, this is a team that looks that they could be dangerous. They just got to be consistent, you know. But I like this. This is in the Footprint Center, too, which is cool.
This is at the Footprint Center, so hopefully some NBA scouts are watching these two teams.
I'm sure they will do, especially if you post these graphics and tag the Phoenix Suns. I'm sure they'll get on trying to level up with our social media guy.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Okay,
yeah,
well,
man, those are matchups.
Great
week,
matchups.
Man.
I got to hand it to you, Big Ray, except for the one with Chinley and Sholo. You did a great job,
That's
dude.
That's crazy, bro. I had the show Sholo Love Somewhere, dude, and it was that perfect spot.
I wish I was kidding, but I'm not. But either way, you know, it's all good. We'll post these graphics, and you guys can let us know in the comments who you got in these matchups. Do not miss out on our Patreon. On our Patreon, we got some really good content on there for you. Reyes, you know, we haven't talked about this yet, but what do you think for our Patreon covering the ALA Coyotes Classic? I mean, it's always a great one.
That's always a good one. I think that's a fun one. I think that's a perfect idea.
I think it's great. So if you wanna hear more about that, we'll give predictions about that tournament, who's going to come out on top, you know, like who has a really good chance to make some upsets or whatever. If you want to hear more about that, go check out our Patreon. Linktree is in our bio on any of our social media platforms. And, yeah, we want to say thank you guys so much for tuning into the Arizona Small Ball Podcast, and we will catch you guys next week.